KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. Leaders in the 2014 Iron Dog are completing their 8 and 6 hour layovers before leaving McGrath this morning. Team number 10, Chris Olds, and Gnomes Mike Morgan had a bit of a scare last night. The first team to McGrath, Morgan's snow machine caught fire during fueling. Iron Dog officials say fire extinguishers were close by and the fire was put out before any major damage was done. Morgan said this morning the fire was all external, nothing under the hood burnt, and they should be on their way out of McGrath close to 10 o'clock this morning. Morgan has his sights on his first Iron Dog victory. He said he and Chris, a two-time champion, have done some experimentation and have made some modifications to their sleds with the lack of snow that was expected on the trail.
You know, we're just experimenting basically with different types of ice scratchers, and we're actually running a dual setup on these. We're running ice scratchers on our skis as well as our suspensions, just trying to throw up as much ice and debris as possible into the Hyphax and the heat exchangers on the machine, keep them cool, you know.
And one team, that of team number 11, Tyler Huntington and Todd Palin, say they are not experimenting with their sleds for this year's race. While Palin says the trail this year is very much like the 2007 race with a lack of snow, he and Huntington are racing with the intent to keep their machines intact.
And to have spare parts available with skis and carbides, and you know, the biggest challenge is going to be keeping the motors cool. So, no, I mean, everybody's doing things that they normally don't do, and breaking rule number one as far as Iron Dog, you know, don't use it unless it's been tested. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, but hopefully we'll make it to Nome in one piece.
Palin, who has run the race 20 times, says experimenting with new equipment for a 2,000-mile snow machine race is like rolling the dice.
A couple teams that did some modifications, and it might be a game changer. It might not be. Time will tell. But I think this year's going to be a race of survival.
Team number 11, Todd Palin and Tyler Huntington, both past champions, are currently on their way to Pentilla, heading through the Alaska Range. Team number 10, Chris Olds and Mike Morgan, again, Morgan hungry for his first Iron Dog win. They're taking their 14-hour layover in McGrath.
You know, my goal is definitely win or bust, you know. I mean, I'm still going to have fun, don't get me wrong, but winning, it's pretty much in sight right now. I'm pretty hungry for that first win, so I'm going to try and win this thing.
Two teams have scratched so far in this year's race. The first teams are expected to arrive into Nome tomorrow. Tune in for full KNOM Iron Dog updates at 9, 12, and 5 o'clock today through the finish in Fairbanks on Saturday. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says he's creating a new Arctic ambassador position. In a letter last Friday to Senator Mark Begich, Kerry says he will appoint a person of high stature to serve as special representative for the Arctic region in order to elevate U.S. attention on the far north. Both Begich and Senator Lisa Murkowski have pressed the administration to create the role. Begich says most of the Arctic countries already have ambassador-level diplomats pressing their national interests at the Arctic Council. Earlier this week, Senator Murkowski criticized the administration's approach to the Arctic. In a letter to President Obama, she called a recent White House implementation plan unambitious and said its emphasis on research seems aimed at conservation to the exclusion of resource development. Murkowski says Friday's news is a step in the right direction, but she nonetheless calls the administration's efforts to seize Arctic opportunities lackluster and a national embarrassment. A legislative proposal creating a path for qualified village public safety officers to carry firearms has cleared another hurdle. Senate Bill 98 was passed on Thursday by the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee, but not without concerns being aired. A draft proposal outlines a funding structure for 20 VPSOs a year to train at the Police Academy in Sitka. The native corporations or boroughs that employ VPSOs would have the final say in whether they want approved officers to carry firearms. Pushback came from current and former law enforcement members. Testifying during public comments, Sergeant Chris Gifford with the Juneau Police Department worried that the regimen for training VPSOs is not sufficient for authorizing them to use deadly force.
My concern is that an inadequate selection process and an inadequate level of training will amount to increased liability to the corporations who employ the VPSOs. More importantly, rural Alaskans will be provided for with what will be, with all intents and purposes, a police officer, but is not one hired to the standards and trained to the standards of other police officers in the state. This bill can be improved upon.
Over the phone, Charles Kamai, Jr., a VPSO program coordinator, spoke on behalf of the Kodiak Area Native Association. Kamai says he understands the realities of rural violence, but he says his group has reservations about endorsing the bill before a more comprehensive candidate screening system is in place.
We respectfully request that this bill not be moved until and unless it includes provisions for an expanded vetting process, which includes psychological assessments of VPSOs who are under consideration for arming.
Jody Potts works for the Tanana Chiefs Conference and spent years as a VPSO. She says that while the TCC supports the bill, they too want a better pre-hire screening process that evaluates mental fitness of potential VPSOs. Criticism of Senate Bill 98 and its counterpart in the House has been sparse and focused almost exclusively on questions over whether the men and women who serve as VPSOs can be trusted to use deadly force. The Parnell administration has anticipated partially filling rural Alaska's law gap by expanding the VPSO program, but VPSOs are not state employees. And the hesitation voiced by members of law enforcement is that the regional corporations employing them have insufficient officer standards. The program sees an annual turnover rate of 33% a year, which accounts for VPSOs leaving on their own as well as being fired for unacceptable or illegal conduct. Senate Bill's next stop is before the State Affairs Committee. The Iditarod Trail Committee Board of Directors, along with staff, will be meeting this morning at 10 o'clock. A final decision will be made on the restart location. With conditions not suitable for sled dogs in the early portions of the trail, the ITC has been considering moving the Iditarod restart to Fairbanks. Whatever the decision later this morning, the ceremonial start will be in Anchorage next Saturday, March 1st. And just days after suffering a concussion, Eureka musher Brent Sass has withdrawn from the Iditarod Trail sled dog race. Four mushers have withdrawn, leaving 70 in the race, according to the race's website. The 34-year-old Sass was in second place in the Yukon Quest International Sled Dog Race when he was injured February 8th. Sass fell off his sled and hit his head on the ice about 100 miles from the race finish. A look at the price of gold today, up $9.90 an ounce to $1,330 even. An ounce of silver is up 34 cents to $21.95. It's unofficially 2 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.